I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh, those holiday J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh, those happy J-I-N-G-L-E B-E-L-L-S. I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh,
jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Bells on bobtail ring, making our spirits bright.
What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh, those holiday J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh, those happy J-I-N-G-L-E B-E-L-L-S. I love those jingle bells all the way.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. We open the show with a little Frank Sinatra and Jingle Bells, and I'm joined by that great American patriot, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Good evening, Vito. Great to be here, and a Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Well, happy Hanukkah to you and your family, and happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends in Israel as well and around the globe, and have a blessed 8 days, and today is the first full day of Hanukkah.
Little
controversy, though, that was erupting here with regards to the New York Times and their crossword puzzle controversy, but you were okay with it. I mean, you weren't offended, let's just say. Let's put it that way.
I looked at it, and I thought whoever was making a big deal about it was, I don't know, had their panties in a twist for no reason. Because the crossword puzzles are random to begin with. I don't think it was anything untowards or culturally inappropriate. I think it was just happened, and people need to settle down because there's other things in this world that are a little bit more important.
Well, Prime Minister Netanyahu weighed in on it too. He was a little bit PO'd about it. And so I went to the New York Post to check out the story there. And the New York Post had a story on the crossword controversy, and there were two big pictures of the crossword puzzle. And, you know, I didn't see it until I opened up the New York Post article and went, holy cow, you can see it. It's like,
so BB got all upset, BB Netanyahu.
Yeah, BB got upset. And you know what? I don't mind the wrath against the New York Times. They have turned into a cesspool of anti-Semitism and anti-Americanism. So, you know, screw the New York Times. Don't care about them.
Yeah, just another long history, a chain of abuses. And for some, I guess this is just the the straw that broke the camel's back, they say.
You ain't kidding. Well, it's just when, you know, when the New York Times can take it on its chin, that's great. World Cup final. So yesterday, Sunday, the defending champions, France, took on Argentina in the finals. And Saturday, Croatia took on Morocco for the third and fourth place finishes. Croatia beat Morocco to third place prize, and Morocco finished fourth. But Sunday's championship round saw Argentina dominate France in the first half. France came back to tie it up in the second half, which I'll tell you, I was surprised. I was on the golf course and somebody, I was at a tee box, and these three guys were watching the World Cup outside. They had the TV on their porch. So I ran over and I was watching it with them. And it was 2-0 Argentina with like 42 minutes of the first half. I was getting inside. It's like they were going to penalty kicks. It's like, what the hell? So France tied it up at 2-2. Then it became they went to a 30-minute extension as a result of the tie at regulation. Argentina and France each scored in a goal in overtime, and under World Cup rules, it meant a penalty shootout after the 30-minute extension ends in a tie. Argentina ended up winning 4-2 over the defending champions, champion France, and Lionel Messi gets the World Cup win. So Lionel Messi and Argentina, I should say, get the World Cup win. So good, congratulations to Lionel Messi. That man is some hockey player, some football player. Man, he is so talented. Did you watch any of it?
Nah, I missed it. Wasn't whole very interested, but I did catch Messi's quote at the end. He said, "I've been doing this my whole career."
Yes. He has. But he certainly
he's
is
like
Argentina.
He's like the Wayne Gretzky for soccer.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't watch the World Cup except for those short bursts. I did happen to watch it when Argentina beat Croatia, and I could not believe how – I mean, this guy is just incredible, Messi. So there was supposed to be a Zelensky sighting, the president of Ukraine. He was supposed to air a message at the beginning of the World Cup, but it was not aired. However, I believe it may have been Jihad Watch, Zelensky's wife was reportedly seen in France doing Christmas shopping at upscale retail stores, and she spent something like over 40,000 euro in one posh upscaled store in France. So it's nice to see that American taxpayer money is being used for self-gratification. And now Bonehead Biden and Nasty Pelosi want to give Ukraine another $48 billion. So can we be any more fiscally irresponsible? I mean, obviously, yes. But, you know, listen, I understand the celebration of Christmas, but what is Zelensky's wife doing spending that kind of money when supposedly, you know, her husband is suffering, you know, the effects of war against Russia? Are we missing something here?
Well, the whole Ukrainian people are in the middle of a battle for their lives, and the president's wife is overseas spending lots of money shopping for Christmas in the middle of war.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems a little – the optics are horrible on that, and I lost a lot of sympathy, unless she bought me a present. Now, if she bought me a present and sends it here, my views will change, but I think she's in trouble. I think it was I don't really care for Zelensky, and this just kind of adds another data point to that. So.
Yeah, I think people in Kiev could probably use 40,000 euro, you know, for their existence, you know, considering how they're being bombarded by Russian rockets and missiles. I mean,
unless you went to Pierre's Army Navy store and was buying Army Navy supplies, you know.
Yeah, no, it was like a Neiman Marcus type store.
Neiman Marcus.
Well, I don't know if it's like
store. Oh my
it's like a grade of that store. I mean, it's like, I can't remember that. I was trying to find a story today, but no, you know what? I read it at bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. That's where I read it. I read it on Saturday. It's like, oh my gosh. I mean, could you get any more ridiculous? I mean, that's really stupid, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, jeez. Well, and yesterday.
I guess you weren't on her Christmas list either, huh?
No, well, not on hers or the Pope's Christmas list right now.
Ooh, the Pope. Yeah. That's a story.
Yeah.
What do you make of that with this one bishop who got
the father?
He get excommunicated? Yeah,
he got
excommunicated because he was a pro-lifer activist.
Yeah, you know, I have to tell you, I am just absolutely this probably solidifies that I will never give another dime to the Catholic Church while Pope Francis is Pope of the Catholic Church. So, listen, I don't care what your political leanings are, but Frank Pavone is a priest Frank Pavone, and he has been defrocked. So far, he's not been contacted by the Vatican or by the upper authorities of the Catholic Church, but he apparently has been defrocked. And he's
okay,
been
what
defrocked.
Does that mean? Defrocked he's, versus an excommunication.
He is no longer a priest. He's been his priesthood has been removed. So if you're a pedophile and you've been accused of being a pedophilia priest, you still maintain your priesthood. You haven't been defrocked unless you're convicted. Somehow the Vatican decided that this a pro-life bishop, a pro-life priest now who is outspoken, okay? But imagine this. You have a Catholic priest who believes in the canons of the Catholic Church, okay, and is an advocate of the Catholic canons all across the United States, and he speaks out against abortion. He's a pro-life priest, and he spoke out in favor of Donald Trump. He happened to be wearing a Donald Trump hat, and of course, the media goes crazy over that. Oh, a pro-life, you know, a pro-Trump priest. Oh, as if priests aren't supposed to be conservative in some way, shape, or form, who believe in the sanctity of life. And somehow, the Vatican, and by the way, I heard today, okay, it was confirmed that Father Frank Pavone's being defrocked was directly from the highest authority. Okay, the highest authority in the Catholic Church is the Pope. So that means that Pope Francis approved, okay, taking away the priesthood. That's what defrocked is. Okay, of priest Frank Pavone. I think it's pretty crappy, honest to God. He doesn't even know what he did.
Because the Catholic Church is pro-life anyway.
Correct.
Like you said, just by their doctrine. They're
so
doctrinally pro-life.
If the Catholic Church states that if a bishop of San Francisco says that we're not going to give communion to Nancy Pelosi because she endorses abortion, okay, that is the prerogative of the church and every right to do so because guess what? Catholics are pro-life.
Right? So you think it was the Trump? Was it the Trump wearing a Trump hat got him, demoted to choir boy or is he demoted to a layman? Like,
no, he's demoted to a layman. He's no longer a priest. If in fact the reports are true. Yeah. Yeah.
So he's got to find another denomination if he wants to stay in the spiritual world.
Yeah. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So that's about the worst thing that the Pope could do to a Catholic priest.
Correct.
Of any level within the Vatican. That is the worst punishment. That's even worse, like you said, than pedophiles.
Yeah. Yes. Correct.
There's something fundamentally wrong with that. Just on a, I don't know. Forget the religious part. It's just fundamentally wrong because he did nothing wrong.
Well, and if you look at the headlines, okay, the DNC state-run media all, you know, have the same coordinated hit job on Father Frank Pavone, anti-abortion priest, Vatican defrocks anti-abortion U.S. priest. That's actually from the New York Post. Vatican defrocks anti-abortion priest, Frank Pavone, CBS News. At least Newsmax went, defrocked priest Pavone, I will not be silenced, and he is going to fight back. He's 84 years old, and I believe he's 84. No, excuse me. Maybe he's not 84. Anyways, the NBC, you know, the DNC NBC, you know, anti-abortion priest Frank Pavone, defrocked for blasphemous posts. Oh, okay. That's a, you know, blasphemous post. I don't know how being pro-life is blasphemous. How could that be blasphemous?
I don't know. Murdering babies after 15 weeks, I guess, is a pretty bad thing.
Yeah, imagine a Catholic priest following the canon law of Catholicism. Wow, holy cow! My gosh, how evil that you have a priest who believes in the sanctity of life versus, you know, the pro-abortionists, you know? Give me a break. So, yeah, so it's just trouble. Just another slap in the face.
Wow. That's a big story, big underreported story, because that goes to the heart of the foundation of the Catholic Church, and there's millions upon millions of Catholics around the world.
Well, it's the second, I think it's the largest religion, and I think Islam is the next religion, is followed by Islam, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, this is going to drive people away from the Catholic Church.
Well, I'll tell you, I have to say that Pope Francis has done a good job of that, that's for sure. But I will not give another dime to the Catholic Church. None. I will read a little bit more on it. I want to know his blasphemous statements. You know, it says the action was taken after Father Pavone was found guilty in canonical proceedings of blasphemous communication on social media and persistent disobedience of lawful instructions of his diocesan bishop. The statement added Pavone had been given ample opportunity to defend himself, but it was determined that he had no reasonable justification for his actions, yet he's not been contacted. So,
well, follow this story and keep us advised.
Yeah, definitely will do so. And I will talk to a friend that I won't say tied to the Catholic, but I'll talk to a friend with regards to who knows clearly about the Catholic Church. Yeah, so if a priest rolls up his sleeves and assists in an abortion, he remains a priest. I think that's correct, Holger. Yep, I think you're right. And certainly, if a priest believes in gay marriage and also gives communion to Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden, that priest, after the Bishop of San Francisco stated otherwise, okay, that, I guess, is not blasphemous to the church, so. Not very happy about this particular decision, but, you know, here we go again with Pope Francis. quick news, PNC Classic was played over the weekend, and the PNC Classic used to be called the Father and Son Classic, but it changed to morphed into a more a father-daughter, daughter-father, but a professional LPGA player and their father, and a father, you know, PGA player playing with their daughter, you know, in the tournament. So it was the 25th year of the PNC Father-Son Classic. A PGA player and their father or son, depending on the age, would play. The PNC Classic has morphed into the Classic when champion players partnered with their daughters and LPGA players partnered with their fathers. After 16 years of playing together, Vijay Singh and his son Cass Singh finally won They held off the defending champions, John Daly and his son, John Jr., and Justin Thomas and his father, who tied for second. And this thing's won by one shot. And it was, I'll tell you, Vijay Singh, 59 years old, sank a really clutch putt on the 18th hole. So congratulations to the Singhs. The backstory is NBC Sports and the Golf Channel. And in my opinion, NBC Sports gets 10 raspberries, a big thumbs down for their treatment in sending off two great announcers, Gary Koch and Roger Maltby, both of who also are retired PGA Tour players. And I don't know what's wrong with today's society at all, Al. I have no idea what's going on in society. But here we have two great announcers, two former PGA Touring pros who did an outstanding job in their announcing. It was great to listen to their banter. You know, they would banter. You had Maltby bantering with Gary Koch and with Paul Azinger, and they would tell stories and anecdotes, and it was fun to listen to. And then they bring in Dan Hicks, who's the play-by-play guy or the color announcer, who's an absolute bore, and he just absolutely ruins all kinds of momentum that's being talked about. Anyways, I don't know what's going on in society today. But it certainly was a pleasure to listen to these two seasoned pros, Gary Koch and Roger Maltby. They were real gentlemen. They were real gentlemen announcers, and I loved the way they discussed golf. And they, you know, if they could just keep the annoying Dan Hicks off the air, it would have been great. However, NBC Sports decides that they're going to abruptly fire Gary Koch and Roger Maltby, and the PNC Classic would be their last airing. And I guess Roger Maltby does have a contract extension. He'll do three majors or something, and he'll still be an on-course announcer, but for three tournaments instead of all the NBC coverage ones. So the classless NBC Sports decides they're going to honor Gary Koch, okay, by having him call the 17th hole at the PNC when Tiger Woods and his son, Charlie, are playing the hole. It's like, really? This is how you honor Gary Koch, one fucking hole. And then Roger Maltby, the way they honored him was after his 20 plus years of service, they gave him a 1 minute blurb. Oh, Gary, you know, it's so good. Roger, it's been so good. That's it. I mean, NBC Sports is classless. You know, it was a sour ending to a PNC tournament. It was, even though the PNC tournament is like an exhibition type thing, but Mr. Koch and Mr. Maltby deserve better. And I'm taking this time right now to just call out NBC Sports. You're absolutely classless the way you dishonored these two gentlemen, these two professionals who were absolutely fantastic for 20 years. I don't get it anymore. I don't get what's going on in society today. I really don't.
Well, I think the PGA might have had a...
No, they had nothing to do with it. PGA had zero to do with it. The PGA had zero to do with it. Zero.
Okay.
This was NBC Sports. They wanted a younger crowd. No, a younger announcer. So Paul Azinger is what, 58, 59 years old? Peter Jacobson is like 68, 69. It was crap. It was a bullshit thing.
Bring Faraday back.
Yeah, oh. And Faraday, you know, he's gone, so and we won't hear from him again, so, you know, yeah.
He was my favorite, Faraday.
He was
those
funny.
Guys, yeah, they were good. They were good. They, which you're right. They kept the loser and let the two seasoned pros go. Not very smart.
No, and the way they did it was just, it was very, very, it was sad the way they did it, so just very disappointing.
Vindictive and cruel and... No class. No class.
And speaking of no class, there are four Republican senators who voted against reinstating military members over vaccine status. And I'm sure that most of you can name at least three of the rhinos, but Mitt Romney, Senator, Senator Mike Rounds, Senator Bill Cassidy, and surprise, surprise, Senator Susan Collins all voted against reinstating military members over their vaccine status. Now, every branch of the government, every branch of the military has had a less than stellar recruiting. As a matter of fact, all recruiting percentages, numbers have been below, way below expectations. And this edict that's being was put down by Bonehead Biden and the United States military actually is dumb. And pilots knew this. Pilots knew that if they got the jab, they would have the potential of contracting what?
Myocarditis
and also blood clots. And now we're finding out that it's absolutely true. Yet these four Republican rhinos, these establishment, you know, cabal members displaying some of the most insufferable logic imaginable, the four Republican senators voted against reinstating military members who were discharged for refusal to get vaccinated. Apparently, according to the logic provided, Congress can select the location for the military to engage, select the weapons they can use, select their commanding officers who will lead their engagement. They can select the method, manner, and purpose of their deployment. Yet when it comes to requiring vaccination, Congress must defer to military leadership. And this goes to show how dishonest the cabal in Washington, D.C. truly is. And these rhinos, okay, should be ashamed. But you know what? Today, these politicians feel no shame. Apparently, the concept of a civilian-led military oversight does not apply when it comes to forced COVID-19 vaccination. Sorry, but these Republican senators are intellectually dishonest idiots. And this was a story written it was in The Last Refuge, which is a conservative treehouse. Check it out. I don't know what your opinion is on this, Al, but these four Republican senators who voted against reinstating military members is ridiculous. It's un-American. And, you know, it's really, really sad that these senators would take this position.
Here's what I've learned after the last 2 years is whether you've gotten the shot and the four or five boosters that go with it, a person can still contract and spread the COVID virus or any of its mutations. So in effect, the unvaccinated and the vaccinated are equal in the catching and transmission of the COVID virus. So why is the vaccine mandatory and necessary?
Well, it would mean that this regime, this dishonest regime in Washington, D.C., would have to basically apologize for erroneously firing, you know, these military men and women for not getting the jab. And that will not happen because the honesty factor of the Biden-Harris regime is zero to less than zero. There is nothing honest about this regime. And for them to have to reinstate these military men and women, it would amount to apologizing to them, and then they'd have to pay them back pay. So the Biden-Harris regime would rather pay illegal aliens who illegally cross into the United States, enter the United States, they are unvaccinated, they are carriers of the China virus, and they are now a leech on the Medicaid systems in all 50 states. And yet, you know, this is what the Biden regime wants. They don't want to give any credence to our brave military men and women. And certainly by reinstating these military men and women, it would be an act of saying, we apologize, we were wrong. That's my opinion.
I agree.
So Mike Rounds, Cassidy. I believe it was Cassidy. Senator Cassidy said, these were direct orders from commanding officers, Cassidy said in the statement. Now, this sounds pretty this sounds, you know, like it could be plausible, okay, right? But Cassidy said in a statement to the Daily Signal on the vaccine mandate, I voted to end the COVID vaccine mandate in the military, but it is not Congress's place to intervene in the chain of command and set a precedent for military personnel to ignore direct orders.
Oh,
okay. But we still have, we have the military being run in Washington, D.C. by politicians. And you mean to tell me that Senator Cassidy or the United States Senate cannot mandate to Secretary of Defense to reinstate those men and women who were discharged for not getting the jab? Give me a break.
Well, like you said, if they do it, then they're stating that they are wrong, and the repercussions of that one decision will reverberate through all federal employees. Lawsuits will be filed all over the place for everyone who is fired for not taking the vaccine. So
yeah,
I figure they're just betting on letting it go and moving on.
That's correct. Move on and go with the next ridiculous edict that's being passed down by this anti-American and anti-constitutional regime.
Yep. And it's the Republican reformers that should be at the lead, not like the four that voted for it, because they are establishment corrupt politicians, establishment Republicans, Romney and the other three.
Yeah, it'd be Romney, Cassidy, Mike Rounds, and Susan Collins. And you know, Susan Collins, but this liberalism from Maine is just it seems like there's nothing about her being fiscally conservative, a Republican, smaller government. You know, it's still the same, you know, cabal in Washington, D.C., and that's beholden to this institution. And sadly, you know, these men and women of the military were wrongly dismissed and discharged, and it should never have happened. And you know what? 10 big raspberries to the United States Senate, especially these four rhinos.
Yep, they're about as conservative as Liz Cheney.
Oh, the never Trumper Liz Cheney. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You know, before we get into that, I'd like to just talk about this article which appeared in Pajama Media and Jihad Watch, and I saw some quotes from Thomas Sowell, and I love Thomas Sowell. I think he was a great economist. You know, he is definitely a conservative, and he never wavered, you know, from his conservatism, you know, even during the times when, you know, liberalism was and progressivism was rearing its ugly head. One quote, I have never understood why it's greed to want to keep the money you have earned, but not greed to want to take somebody else's money. And that was it's a great quote with regards to welfare system. And of course, with regards to, you know, paying illegal aliens who illegally come into the United States and break the law. The next quote, which is so apropos for today, much of social history of the Western world over the past three decades has been a history of replacing that which worked with what sounded good. And if ever this quote applied, it applied to when Joe Biden was installed. 40 years of failed policies while this man was in the United States Senate. 40 years in the United States Senate with nothing to show for it except plagiarism. And then he's tapped as Barack Hussein Sator Obama's vice president, and Obama wins, and so does Biden, but nothing to show for it. Much of social history of the Western world over the past three decades has been a history of replacing what worked with what sounded good. And what we've seen from the Biden-Harris regime and their radical anti-American policies of taking America off energy independence, which was working, which kept transportation costs low, which worked, which kept consumer prices low, which worked, which kept inflation at or near zero, and it worked. But to replace energy independence with the same old failed progressive policies, which have been proven failures, especially during Biden's 50 years of failure as an American politician, Biden has sold America out for the global climate scam. And what energy policies were working in America before the installation of Joe Biden? Energy independence, drilling. Strategic petroleum reserve was full. Now, many of you may not know what the strategic oil preserve or strategic petroleum reserve is, but Holger was kind enough to give me some stats here, which is really and truly important. Because when Biden took office, when Biden was installed, however you ever want to define it, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve was full to capacity. President Trump had made sure that national security prevailed. But under the Lion Biden mentality and regime, and certainly this does not fall solely upon Biden because he's not smart enough to do this on his own, and he has his handlers who are employing this anti-American and anti-national security policies. But the Strategic Oil Reserve a year ago was 600.87 million barrels. And because of the elections that just passed, the midterm elections, and gas prices spiking to all-time highs thanks to Biden's feckless policies, our Strategic Oil Reserve has been cut by more than 60% down to 382 million barrels. So President Trump funded the buildup of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve at less than $40 a barrel, and in some cases at net zero a barrel, because America was producing that much oil. And thanks to the irresponsibility and recklessness of the Biden-Harris regime, we're now replenishing the Strategic Oil Reserve, not at $0 a barrel, not at $20 a barrel, where the majority had been done under President Trump, but at $70 a barrel, $72 a barrel. But hey, it's only taxpayer money. You know, President Trump didn't have to manipulate gas prices by artificially seeking to lower gas prices by depleting America's petroleum reserves, a national security issue. And presently, America has enough oil to supply our needs for the next 200 to 400 years. But Biden and his fellow Marxists are going to break Americans. Folks, given American ingenuity, American brilliance, American innovation, we are confident that the American inventive spirit would devise an alternative fuel source over the next 100 years. There is no doubt that would happen. And while America is developing this new alternative fuel source, it can be assimilated and transitioned in a reasonable and affordable manner. Not abruptly stop all fossil fuel production, whether it's oil, whether it's coal-fired plants, and bankrupt the American taxpayer. Bankrupt the working families. Bankrupt the working poor, as Biden-Harris regime are doing. Not make fuel costs unaffordable and cause rapid rise in inflation, the highest we've seen in 40 years, because transportation costs are a great factor in contributing to the skyrocketing inflation under the Biden-Harris regime. Biden's regime's irresponsible and dictatorial edicts to abruptly end fossil fuels will not be affordable. And without any with no affordable replacement, will descend Americans into predetermined poverty, all due to the global climate scam callously being shoved down taxpayers' throats. A $1 trillion scam to confiscate taxpayer money and empower an out-of-control radical government and rack up unsustainable debt. $6 trillion in debt in the last 23 months. And now you've got a continuing resolution where the United States Senate is proposing another $1.7 trillion spending spree. $7.7 trillion being pissed away by this government, by this Pelosi, Schumer, Biden, Obama-led government. Then send American taxpayer money that we don't have, and sending it to borrow money to other countries is absolutely criminal. So here's Ted Cruz, who was on the Senate floor with a coherent breakdown of the timeline of gas prices soaring under bumbling Joe Biden, the liar-in-chief, with the events which caused gas prices to soar, which caused grocery prices to soar, which caused transportation prices to soar. And remember, it was Lion Biden who said nothing about the rise in gas prices and escalating inflation from January 20th of 2021 to January of 2022 as gas prices soared out of control. The American people felt it. Without a doubt, the American people felt it. Frello fraud would shuffle away from any questions asked of him. The furlough fraud would avoid conducting press conferences, and he hid behind Jen Psaki and her blank notebook. What we knew all along, and what Senator Cruz pointed out, that this rise in rapidly rising of gas prices was not due to Putin's war, which caused the rise of energy costs, and Biden falsely blames. You see, Biden is the perfect cold-hearted, dense individual to ignore Americans' pain. The pain at the pump, the pain at the grocery store, the pain filling your heating oil tanks, the pain of draining your savings. And remember, this is the same guy who hid in his basement during the 2020 presidential campaign, a tactic that worked. Allow things to get out of control. Ignore the economic impact. And then wait for the perfect opportunity to arise, and then rise from your basement. And at that point, you blame Vladimir Putin for invading the Ukraine. And since bumbling Biden has decided to pound his chest, gaslighting, gas prices are declining, it would be a great time to remind everybody that Biden is lying. And it's not like the DNC state-run media is going to hold Joe Biden accountable for lying once again, because his chronic lying is out of control. And what's said is we have a media in this country who is covering for this frail fraud. So here is Ted Cruz talking about the timeline of gas prices. And this is an official Senate presentation because it's in the Senate logs.
This was deliberate. This isn't an accident. This isn't an unintended side effect. This is exactly what Joe Biden promised he would do, and it's what he's done. If you look at when Biden was sworn in, gas nationally was $2.09 a gallon. On that first day, what does Biden do? He cancels the Keystone Pipeline. Boom, day one. What does he do after that? January 27th, a week later. He halts all new oil and gas leases on federal land, both onshore and offshore. Federal land, onshore and offshore, comprises roughly 25% of U.S. oil and gas production. Next, February 19th, he rejoins the Paris Climate Agreement. Notice what's happening to the price. Next, May 7th, 2021, Biden takes 30% of land off limits to oil and gas. Price keeps going up. June 1st, he halts drilling in Anwar, the incredibly petroleum-rich section of Alaska with vast reserves, very small portion of Alaska, he shuts it down. Price keeps going up. June 30th. Congress reverses the Trump natural gas regulations. October 7th. Biden reverses the Trump NEPA regulations. October 29th, Interior begins the, quote, social cost of carbon designed, again, to drive gas prices up. November 15th, a moratorium on oil drilling in the Chaco Canyon. And then February 24th, Russia invades Ukraine. By the way, Biden is trying to blame Putin for the increase. And listen, Putin bears some responsibility for that increase, but he doesn't bear responsibility for all of this. All of this happened before Putin invaded Ukraine. March 1st, Biden releases oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. March 21st, the SEC proposes an anti-oil rule. Let's shut off equity. By the way, you combine that with the banking regulators that Biden put forth, who are trying to shut off debt. So if you have no equity for drilling oil and gas, and you have no debt for drilling oil and gas, you know what that means? You have no money for drilling oil and gas. And what happens is the price keeps going up and up and up. And then May 12th, Biden cancels the remaining lease sales. This is decision after decision after decision designed to cause the price to go from $2.09 to $4.48 a gallon on average.
You heard it yourself. A deliberate act by Biden. And, of course, it's Biden's handlers because Joe Biden is not smart enough to have done this on his own. But this is an unintended side effect. This isn't an unintended side effect, as Senator Cruz stated. So on January 20th, gas nationally had an average price of $2.09 a gallon. Down in Florida, it was $1.89 a gallon. The Trump NEPA regulations were reversed, and that would be the National Institute of Food and Agriculture. And again, the operative words here are the Trump regulations have been reversed. The goal of installing a Joe Biden and Kamala Harris was to reverse whatever Trump did, irrespective of how well it was working, which goes back to the quote from Thomas Sowell. Much of the social history of the Western world over the past three decades has been a history of replacing what worked with what sounded good. But this didn't even sound good. This is a mission now by Joe Biden to globalize America and to hell with what works. And what was working was energy independence. Biden irresponsibly releases oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. I just told you about that earlier. We're down to 382 million barrels of oil from 601 billion million barrels of oil. And somehow the fiscally responsible Trump fills the Strategic Petroleum Reserve at zero to $30 to $40 a barrel. And now the less than genius Biden is now filling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve after depleting it, intentionally depleting it to artificially lower gas prices. And he's going to fill it at over $70 a barrel. Now, I don't know what school of economics Joe Biden nor his handlers went to, but that is the worst deal ever. I mean, that makes absolutely zero sense to replenish the Strategic Petroleum Reserve at $72 to $75 to $78 a barrel or higher. And his handlers have him pounding his chest now today about lowering gas prices. And this is what prompted this whole discussion here and to talk about this. Because Biden was silent for 1 year, For 1 year, that frail old fraud said nothing as gas prices went from $1.89 to $2.09 to $2.75 to $2.99 to $3.30, $3.40, and in some cases $7 a gallon as people were paying in California and in the West Coast. And suddenly, gas prices are coming down as a result of draining the strategic oil reserve and artificially lowering the gas prices, and Biden is pounding his chest now. Or at least whoever writes his tweets are tweeting out, look, gas prices are lower. Oh, gas prices are lower. They're still 70% higher than when you took office, you bum. As Lion Biden takes his victory lap for gas prices at the pump, only being 70% higher than after being installed by recklessly releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, Biden has done nothing about heating fuel oil. Since Biden took office, the heating fuel oil has increased 300%. December of 2020, a full heating oil tank cost just under $350 to fill. 1 year later, January 2022, 11 months, okay, to be exact, the price was over $900 to fill that same tank. Almost a 300% increase thanks to Biden's feckless policies and selling America out to the global climate scam in his attempt to end fossil fuel. Biden, of course, is silent. How about natural gas prices? December 15, 2021, the cost to fill a propane tank, $446. I believe it's a 120-gallon tank. 1 year later, December 15, 2022, 4 days ago, that same tank to fill up is $714. Is Biden pounding his chest about that? Hell no. But what about seniors? How do seniors live today? Well, they got an 8% increase in their monthly Social Security. Wow, pound your chest about that. Okay, how do you pay a $300 increase in natural gas prices? How do you pay a $600 increase in heating fuel oil while you're still paying 40, 50% increases in grocery costs? And now Biden, his radical regime of anti-Americans, are pushing to shut down coal-fired plants in America. In the state of Massachusetts, they had their coal-fired plants shut down. And guess what? Immediately, utility prices rose over 57%. Yes, electric bills went up 57% as a result of shutting down the coal-fired plant in Massachusetts. But hey, let's be beholden to the global climate scam, the Paris Accord scam. 70% increase in gas prices at the pump since January 20, 2021. 300% increase in heating fuel oil. 50% increase in grocery prices due to the rapid rise in transportation costs, all since January 20, 2021. And today, December 19, 2022, Joe Biden's taken a victory lap because gas prices are down to $2.99 a gallon. Oh, look what I did. So how are senior citizens, working families, middle-class Americans able to afford these astronomical energy increases? Biden and his anti-American regime doesn't care. They just continue to distract with their phony lip service and their lies. And Al, this is not stopping. Okay, now that a barrel of oil now is starting to increase once again. It's starting to rise over $70 a barrel. What's going to happen now when the United States, when the American taxpayer has to fund the Strategic Petroleum Reserve? And now that's BP, Shell, whatever gas you use, okay, suddenly gas went from $60 a barrel now to $78 a barrel. It's going to go up to $80 a barrel. And what's going to happen to gas prices? They're going to increase. So how does bumbling Biden now find a way to reduce those gas prices, Al? It's not going to happen.
What he'll do is what his mouth person said. The White House spokesperson got up and said, oh, this Christmas, President Biden has lowered your fuel costs. The average family, as they travel, will save $200 in fuel expenses this holiday season thanks to Biden policies. That is gaslighting and lying, because it was President Biden's policies that raised the gas in the first place.
Exactly. No one's challenging
this. People
be
stupid.
Yeah, people be stupid. No one's challenging this. No one's challenging the fact that Biden's lying, okay, and his policies now have caused a rise in gas prices. But let me make this prediction. We have a caller, but I'm going to make one prediction right here, okay? What I find very timely and very interesting, okay, and let's mark this date down, December 19, 2022, okay? What I find really interesting is gas prices now, and Biden suddenly is coming out from under his rock, okay? And his handlers now are pounding their chest that gas prices are lower, right? Now, what happens on January the 3rd or January 4th of 2023? The Republicans take control of the House. Now, the Senate is still under the left-wing rule, okay, the left-wing anti-American rule, but the Republicans take control of the House. Gas prices start climbing once again. Now, as gas prices climb, and remember, they were climbing from January 21 to January 22, and Biden said nothing. You mark my words that this regime will blame the Republicans coming in now into the U.S. House for the rise in gas prices that the American people are feeling. And now they've created a baseline. And that baseline, they, meaning Biden regime, the left wing, the anti-Americans, have established a baseline for gas prices, and that's $3 a gallon. Now you watch when gas starts rising above $2.75, $3 a gallon, the Biden handlers will be blaming the Republicans. If it's Kevin McCarthy in the House, they'll blame him for it, and it'll be relentless. It'll be relentless. What will happen? And you know what? There's no such thing as a coincidence any longer. This is all by design, and no wonder Biden hasn't said a damn thing. That phony piece of garbage. We have a caller on the line. Good evening, Holder. How are you?
Well, I figured, you know, since you're bringing up home heating costs, it might be a good time to hear from the Viking, because I do have some bad news that, you know, thousands of Americans are going to die, you know, kind of like the Democrats always say when Republicans take over, they're going to, you know, everybody's going to die in the streets. But the frigid temps have come into Minnesota, and they are heading southward, and so the rest of the country is going to be in dire straits, because you need fuel to heat your home. And
yes,
you know, I just wanted to call in because this is a great topic. You know, I love the what Cruz did there. You know, but you know the. You guys doing the show, me listening, all of your listeners listening, I mean, we're part of the 2% who actually seek out what's actually happening in the world, okay? I mean, we have to understand that, you know, 50% of the people of this country are walking around aimlessly. They don't dig into things. They trust the government. They blah, 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 blah. If they want to find out, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it costs them $700 to fill up their tank for fuel this winter versus $300 last year. Where do they turn for answers? They turn to the media. They go to the news. Okay, somebody in the news obviously has talked about this, and I need to find out what's going on. So I looked up an article from just a couple weeks ago at CNN. Okay, and the title of the article is, quote, "It's like living in an igloo," end quote. People are turning off their heat as prices surge. Okay, and I thought to myself, geez, you know, that's kind of bold for CNN to actually even address that this is going on. And so they go into the article, and I'll just read just some of it real briefly. It says, home heating prices are skyrocketing yet again this winter, up 18% nationwide on top of last year's 17% spike. Charmaine Johnson works in the call center at Philadelphia's heater hotline and can relate to the concerns she's hearing all day. She, too, is struggling to afford her heating bills. With help from her son, she just paid more than $1,000 to fill part of her oil tank, which she hopes will last her most of the winter. It's miserable, she said. It's like living in an igloo. Okay? So now here's the money. Here's where Joe Q America, you know, some old fart living down the street from you who can't figure out what's going on, here's where CNN explains to him what's going on. So it says, several factors are driving hikes in home heating prices, including the war in Ukraine, OPEC cuts, three, a surge in energy exports, four, lower energy inventories, and five, a high demand for natural gas in the U.S. electric power sector.
Wow.
So there you go. Those are the reasons that America is told.
Well,
the
DNC
are going up 300%.
The DNC got their talking points out, didn't they? The DNC has done a great job in disseminating false information, misinformation, disinformation, and it comes directly from the White House. That's absolute garbage, isn't it? We all know why, and you know what? Senator Cruz outlined very well, just in the first year, okay, what was the cause? Because I think there's a person on this line that understands commodities, okay, and understands supply and demand. So you cut the Keystone Pipeline. Now, don't you think speculation-wise, that's going to, you know what, for futures, that's going to cause a rise in prices. So halt all new oil and gas leases, which results in 25% of the drilling. Oh, wait a minute. That could be a second part of a futures increase. Enter the Paris Accord, knowing it's going to cost the United States of America at least $4 trillion over the next 10 years. It's going to cost the world over $80 trillion in the next 80 years. That might also have an impact on speculation. Halts drilling in Anwar. Now, Hoger, I don't know about you, and you know, I don't have a degree in economics, but as a small business person, I just know that I understand supply and demand, and I understand that that income minus expenses equals a profit or loss. And as you seek ways to stop drilling, as you seek ways to create more product, prices are going to increase. And then how convenient, 1 year later, well, 1 year and 1 month later, in February of 2022, Putin invades Ukraine, and suddenly all the left-wing liars come out from under their rock, including Joe Biden, and they start blaming Putin for the rise in energy costs. But who's going to challenge him?
Well, it points out the sad reality of this country. In the article, there's this other section that says, Tim Wisely is keeping the heat off at his home outside Philadelphia, even as temperatures dip toward freezing. He wants his heating oil to last as long as possible, as filling his tank costs roughly $1,500. Quote, it's 50 or 55 degrees in here. To me, that's not unbearable yet, Wisely added, adding that he'll turn the heat on when his teeth chatter. The 67-year-old is retired, living month to month on Social Security benefits. He lost his wife last year, and his medical bills are adding to the long list of expenses. Quote, you can't go food shopping and get oil. It's one or the other, he said. So the sad reality is that Tim Wisely, after going through this, sitting in his fucking house at 50 degrees, probably went up and cast his vote for John Fetterman. That's the sad reality.
That's the sad reality. And, you know, and I'll tell you,
I mean, if this guy went and cast his vote for the same old, good. I hope you got to go to 40 degrees in your fucking house.
You know, Jesus. What we take exception to is the fact that Biden is falsely claiming that Putin's war at Ukraine has caused these energy cost increases. And my sister gave me a great example, and I used it. December of 2020, December of 2020, she had filled the heating tank, the heating oil tank at $347. And January of 2022, which would have been a year later, okay, it cost her $960. Now, Putin's war didn't start until February. So to blame Putin for that is absolutely false. And again, you've got Biden sitting here taking a victory lap today, pounding his chest these last 2 weeks that gas prices are coming down. But he said nothing about natural gas prices. He says nothing about heating oil. And then you have these people in Philadelphia who are setting their thermostats at 58 degrees.
Yep.
It's just unconscionable what's going on.
Well, you know, it, when you look at the corruption of the media, I mean, it is, you know, the free press is even part of the First Amendment. I mean, that's how important having a free press was to our founders. I mean, here's my point. It came out just in the last few days or whatever. It came out about with the Twitter drops, the files, Twitter files. It came out that Twitter was actually charging the FBI money.
Yes.
Because, you know, because the FBI was tying up all their people in all these freaking meetings and bullshit and stuff. So the one guy, you know, tweets out, you know, sends his tweet to or message to everybody in the company saying, hey, we made money. We got $3.8 million out of the feds, you know, for all the stuff we've had to do for the FBI. And so I responded on Twitter and I said, basically, you know, so let me get this straight. As an American citizen, I actually paid Twitter to censor me.
Yes,
they used my money at the FBI to pay Twitter to censor me.
It's an investment. What are you talking about?
And so my point being is that here's my point. When the COVID thing happened and all these governors all wanted to score big points with the cabal, you know, Newsom and Cuomo and Waltz in Minnesota and all these governors across the country, you know, slammed down these mandates and they shut down the non-essential businesses, and pretty soon their states went in the frickin' tank. Economically, they lost their asses, while states like Texas and Florida didn't lock things down, and they survived very nicely. Okay, but all those states that shit-canned their economies, you know, to follow the federal plan of control over the American people, all of them that went and shit-canned their economies, they got bailed out.
Yeah.
Remember all the legislation that came out along the way where Nancy Pelosi, you know, vowed to make sure that they subsidized these states that had suffered under COVID. So all this taxpayer money went funneling into California to prop them up because they, of their own free will, had screwed themselves. All that money went to New York State, all these other states and all that. So now we are sitting here with 67-year-old men who have to turn their thermostat down to 50 just to survive.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a single call for any money funneling back to those people. Hey, let's make, you know, we have to make up for what Joe did. You know, Joe's caused all these Americans to go through this. They can't even heat their home, so we've got to pass the Home Heating Restoration Act. Have you heard any calls for that? You know, we'll take care of Gavin Newsom so he looks good in 2024 or 2028, but screw the people.
As far as
they're concerned, they just haul us out, stack us up alongside the street, and bring a truck in and just load us up.
Well, it helps the Social Security numbers, right?
And you know, at the same time, you gotta love a system where they can do all that and only lose 10 seats in the House. That's the beauty, because, you know, the end of my tweet about paying Twitter out of my pocket for them to censor me, I put down, doesn't that make us actually like a level below sheep? You know, sheep are pretty dumb, but we're a little bit below that. We're like beyond the belly of a sheep, you know. And so my point is, you know, when nobody gets it, if it doesn't bother you, why would these guys ever change? Why would the media actually report the truth? Why would Joe Biden, you know, not lie in a tweet when they're never held accountable?
Exactly.
They're winning.
They're winning big time. So... all right, boys. Thanks for letting me chime in.
All right, Holger. Have a nice evening. Thanks for the call. And
yeah, Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry,
stay
Merry
warm.
Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, stay warm, will you?
Yeah, you have a crazy Kwanzaa. See ya.
We'll celebrate that next week.
Crazy Kwanzaa.
You know, he brought up a good point, you know, the corruption of the media, and really that's what it's really boiled down to, you know, when he talks about CNN and their reporting, and of course, you know, ABC's Martha Ravage yesterday or over the weekend interviewing Governor Abbott of Texas, you know, and running cover for Biden and saying that, you know, Joe Biden never used the term open borders. Suddenly, you know, they're trying to justify, you know, Biden's, you know, lack of concern for the border and the millions of illegal aliens who are pouring through our southern borders, the millions of illegal, unvaccinated, infected aliens coming through the southern border. And now the other fascinating news, the reason why Biden is not going down there is because he travels, you know, he travels heavy and it would cause traffic jams. Really? So bumbling Biden was okay with not abiding by the UK's request not to drive, okay, his vehicle in the streets of London, you know, to pay tribute to Queen Elizabeth during her funeral, but they did it anyways, irrespective of UK's rules, because Biden is frail and he can't walk. Okay, but suddenly the new narrative now out of this phony regime is to say, well, we're not going down to the border, not because we don't have time, it's because now we would create a traffic congestion, a traffic jam. I mean, it's just one lie after another with this regime.
No, like you said, like Holger said, it all goes back to media corruption. I mean, just look at Twitter. While Jack Dorsey was shadow banning and going against any conservative who even mentioned anything to do with COVID-19 or there are problems with the vaccine, you got immediately silenced or canceled. Mm-hmm. Nobody seemed to care. And now all of a sudden Elon Musk buys the company legally, and now he's reinstating people that were dismissed, including that were canceled, including President Trump. And now he's the worst guy on the planet, even though He makes electric vehicles. He was the king of the liberals.
Right.
He sends rockets one after another, breaking every NASA record that ever existed into space successfully. This guy's incredible. So, this media corruption, and President Trump, to his credit, battled it when he kept saying fake media, fake media, fake news. Those two words, fake news, actually leveled the playing field a little bit because it put them on the defensive. And the current Republican leadership is quiet. Rona McDaniel, quiet. She's useless. McCarthy, useless.
McConnell.
Useless.
Useless. I guess we'll know in a couple of weeks who the new speaker will be. I know that, or I read where, you know, President Trump has endorsed McCarthy, Milquetoast McCarthy as speaker. And I understand why.
President Trump.
I know, but I understand why.
Why? Explain.
I understand why. And I'll tell you why. Because there are not enough House members of the United States House to sway the vote any way else. And if they lose, 40 members of the House to vote or 30 members of the House who vote against McCarthy, and all 100% of the Democrats, and believe me, 100% of the Democrats will vote for Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker of the House. Now that Nancy Pelosi has stepped aside, one, Hakeem Jeffries is black. Secondly, he's an election denier, but he's an election denier for the left wing. And it'll be a ceremonial vote. And obviously the Democrats don't want to relinquish control, which in fact they won't, because it's basically a uniparty system. But if the Republicans don't get behind one candidate right now, one individual, they will hand the speakership over to the Democrat Party. And that will be Hakeem Jeffries. And, we've already had, a left-wing anti-American, anti-constitutionalist, a Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, for the last, 4 years. And prior to that, for 6 years, or 4 years as well, who shoved down the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obama doesn't care, and told us that on the 3,000-page Affordable Care Act, we don't know what's in it, so we have to pass the bill to know what's in it. And that is the most irresponsible, leadership in America that we've ever had is in Congress. And not to mention the spending spree that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have engaged since January 20th of 2021. $6 trillion in new spending, and now there's a $2 trillion spending spree that they want to pass for Friday.
See, I kind of disagree. I think there's enough Republicans opposition to where any of those, Senator Scott or any of that group, would win, and McCarthy has got to go.
Senator Scott,
the same old. Yeah,
no,
Senator McCarthy. Not McCarthy. Yeah, he's got to go.
I agree with you, but there's nobody. There's not one. There isn't a Republican right now that stepped up to the plate that will win. There isn't. Jim Jordan has already declined. Dan Webster, I thought, would be one of the persons. I thought Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania would be a great choice, but he doesn't want it. Nobody wants it. So where do you go? I mean, the Freedom Party is weak at best. They have, 30, 40 members? And so those are the 30 members that will hold out. And that could be enough to sway the vote because, the one thing that you can't accuse the Democrats of being is not coordinated and not loyal to their party. And they are loyal to the nth degree. And when it comes to power, they will find a way to regain power in any way, shape, or form. And I don't agree with Milquetoast McCarthy. I have to agree with you 100% there. But there isn't anybody else who stepped up to the plate.
Yeah. I don't know. I just see more establishment Republicans and all this tough talk that he's doing, nothing's going to happen, and he'll just go silent once he gets the gavel. Then it's all over and done with.
It's
going to hurt Trump's election because McCarthy's going to turn on him. You know it's going to happen.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
I'll bet you $5 McCarthy's going to turn on Trump.
Wait, the reason I'm laughing is as if we didn't know this was going to happen. What has been the initiative, okay, since President Trump left office? What has been the initiative over the last 4 years? It has been to remove Trump at all costs. And now, you know, as if we're going to be surprised that President Trump it has absolutely no friends in the United States House of Representatives, including the leadership, and milquetoast McCarthy will abandon Trump in a heartbeat after he gets elected. In a heartbeat.
Yeah. I mean, so what? McCarthy went to Mar-a-Lago, played golf, played a couple of rounds with Trump, and now he trusts him? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I've seen him get betrayed too many times by supposedly Republican conservative loyalists.
Yeah.
And now it's going to happen again. He's like, what's that with Peanuts Lucy and Linus with the football? She keeps moving it every time he goes to kick it.
I'm laughing because, you know, we expect so much because one has an R after their name or a D after their name, but it's all the same system. And we have to realize that. And McCarthy is part of that system. And for the Republicans not to put someone with a little bit of fervor and with a little bit of venom, you know, up there as a speakership, it's ridiculous. I mean, we have a golden opportunity, and unfortunately, we're going to get the same milquetoast, but it'll be it certainly won't be a leader like, you know, Pelosi, who was diehard Democrat, who insulted and ridicule the president of the United States, and now she's sitting here saying, Biden has done just a tremendous job. Oh, wait a minute, what was the case? Oh, here it was. So Biden has done an excellent job as president, and then sitting next to her was Schmuck Schumer, who said he's done an excellent job. So Schumer had an up one of, you know, of Pelosi, and so these two establishment honks will do and say anything they can for their fellow establishment wonks. And Biden is part of that cabal, certainly, and they're running cover for him, as the media has. Martha Ravitch, did it to Governor Abbott. And we know that McConnell is part of that system. And I am sure that Milquetoast McCarthy is part of that system. But will he be any better than a Hakeem Jeffries? Probably.
He'll be better. He's got any R is better than a D, but McCarthy is not the guy. And I think I think the Republicans could make a stand. They should. But
I agree.
They're weighing. They're doing the political calculus of what will work, and that never ends up well.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't end up well.
It's kind of like only in America, you know, Brittany Griner was flown home from Russia in a Jeep, in a Gulfstream 550, taxpayer expense, burns 400 gallons an hour, total cost $210,000. Now for all the liberal idiots, let's look at how ungreen this was. The Gulfstream burns 400 gallons per hour. She caused 11,200 gallons of jet fuel to pollute our planet. She's also being treated at Brooks Medical Center, a military hospital, on your dime, my dime, everybody else, every other taxpayer's dime. So only in America can a person who uses drugs, kneels for our national anthem, and promotes green living get this treatment on your dollar. Not to mention letting an arms dealer go free, that our government spent millions of dollars to build a case to convict him.
And the arms dealer was seen in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Recently. like in the last two days.
Yeah. That's the Democrats in action. Even the worst Republican, I don't even think Liz Cheney would have gone for something as sick as this.
Well, as long as it's anti-Trump, it's okay. Yeah. I mean, the government will do anything they can. Those that are part of the system will do anything they can in order to malign and to destroy Trump. And it doesn't matter that his policies worked. It doesn't matter that he put America first. And somehow, making America great, okay, is now a terrorist slogan. How in the world can, you know, if you're supporting the United States of America, if you're supporting putting America first, somehow that's a terroristic comment. We allow this narrative to be dictated. And it's absolutely insane. You know, Brittany Griner now will be celebrated. She's already stated she's going to play in the WNBA this season. And why not? Because you watch ESPN. They're going to be fawning all over this druggie. You know, they're going to be the accolades that will come out about, you know, oh, Joe Biden and had her released. In the meantime, nobody says anything about an arms dealer, okay, who was selling weapons to kill Americans and a notorious individual at that. Why would Russia seek to have this guy released? And for what? What did we get in return for a druggie? What did we get? We got screwed. I was thinking about the deals that America's made. You know, it's like spending, you know, $80 per gallon per barrel to replenish the Strategic Petroleum Reserve when we spent $20 a barrel, and this is as dumb of a deal as we could have had. And, you know, no wonder why President Trump refused to send an arms dealer, you know, for an American. I mean, it's truly incredible what we're seeing today. I mean, really, it's.
Well, we do have some good news from SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States.
Yes.
Title 42, there's 50,000 to 100,000 illegal alien invasion waiting at the border to rush the border and invade America. But Title 42 is not ending because SCOTUS put a stay on it. So what do you think? You think the illegals are going to stay on their side of the border, or are they still going to rush anyway?
Well, they're still going to rush. Obviously, the Title 42, you know, remaining in effect, thanks to Justice Roberts, you know, it does delay it. Now, how will they enforce this? You know, I guess all the illegals that have their iPhones and their Androids, they'll send them a text letting them know that Title 42 is still in effect and you can't cross. But we're watching the videos, and I'm sure, you know, Gulf Dogs can attest to this. The videos in the Rio Grande and where else in Texas are being overrun. It's an absolute crisis at the border, and it's all by design by the Biden regime. I mean, they want this chaos, they want this flood, and it's really sad what we're seeing. So. Yes, I do believe that we'll continue to see this. And what we'll probably see is that the Biden regime will ramp up their transportation of illegal aliens around the country. You know, they excoriated Governor DeSantis. In the meantime, the Biden-Harris regime was doing the same exact thing in the dead of night from McAllen, Texas, and distributing, you know, redistributing, okay, repatriating illegal aliens to cities and towns across America that we don't even know about. But congratulations to SCOTUS for doing the right thing right now and putting a pause on Article 42, and I'm sure the Biden regime will sue for that to be Article 42 to end, because it was a measure that was put in place by President Trump, and the goal of Bonehead Biden is to is to dismantle anything that Trump did, especially that what was working.
Well, yeah, and he can populate the United States with illegal alien Democrat voters once they give asylum to these illegal aliens.
Exactly.
That's how they're shipping them out, shipping the majority of them out to battleground states. It's by design. So if you can't rig the system, bring in illegal aliens. And God knows, they're killing Americans. Man, you get into a traffic accident with an illegal alien, you're screwed. And I know people,
yeah.
I know people whose family members have been killed by illegal aliens. In fact, there's, gosh, thousands of them, sadly. I've known people that have gotten into accidents with illegal aliens and have had lifelong injuries that don't heal. Neck, back, because they're fragile.
Yeah.
And the illegal alien gets off scot-free, and then the courts let him go, and they're protected. So, yeah, you want more of that? That's what's coming over the border.
Well, and it's exactly what the Biden regime wants. You know, they
yeah.
want this flood. You know, they want this crisis. They want this climate crisis. They want this energy crisis. And it's all to put in their radical anti-American agenda.
Yeah. And these Marxist assholes. It doesn't stop there. Even the governor of Oregon, she commuted all death row criminals to life without parole. Did you hear that story?
Yeah, go ahead. I saw the headlines on that one, and of course I shook my head, but go ahead. It's not a myth, is it?
No, it's the truth.
Okay.
And some of these, there's one person on death row who raped a baby, stomped on this baby, killed the baby, tortured this baby. And he was on death row, and now his sentence is commuted to life without parole.
God,
and I believe that in the dead of night, this Oregon liberal Democrat Marxist governor will commute these murderer's sentences even further. And this life without parole will be 25, 30, 40 years maybe, and then they'll be back out on the street. Because that's what Marxists do.
It's pretty sick, isn't it? I mean, I'm not sure I quite understand, again, what's going on. And all of this, what's happening in America with the legal system. You know, the one thing that is for certain is that we know that George Soros was behind this liberalization of and perverting laws around the United States. George Soros funded attorney generals, state's attorneys, district attorneys around the country. And several now have been recalled, including the latest one, I believe is up in Minnesota, will be removed from office I believe it's from Minneapolis. You had the state's attorney in Orlando was removed by Governor Rick Scott when the Soros-backed state's attorney refused the death penalty for killing a woman, her unborn, which Marquise Lloyd's girlfriend, and then he point blank shot Sergeant Deborah Clayton five times he shot her, and the state's attorney refused to try on the death penalty, so Governor Scott removed her. Then you had the stepson of two anti-American terrorists, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, Chase Bowden, who was recalled in a liberal city of San Francisco for his anti-American laws, including letting criminals off and the soft on crime mentality. And we saw the videos. And you still see the videos of people looting stores such as Walgreens and upscale stores, to the point where Walgreens announced that they were shutting their stores within the city limits of San Francisco because it became unprofitable. And you know those evil corporations that Bob, the short guy, what's his name, the former Clinton, Bob Rice, he, you know, talking about Robert Rice, talking about how corporations are evil. Well, the evil corporation of Walgreens was losing a ton of money inside the city limits of San Francisco because of the chronic looting of their stores. And this was due to the crime, the soft on crime mentality of Chase Bowden. And so the people of San Francisco recalled him, as they should have. And there was a recall vote for Los Angeles state's attorney that was funded by George Soros. And then you have the state's attorney in St. Louis, who is Soros backed. Soros is dumping millions of dollars, undermine the rule of law in America. And the American people are starting to be aware of this, as they were in Florida with regards to the state's attorney race. I'm sorry, the attorney general's race in Florida, mm-hmm. with Moody and Ayala. And Ayala was the disgraced state's attorney from the Orange County location. And she got summarily rejected, 60-40, as a matter of fact, or even greater, that Moody, I forgot her first name. Anyways, Moody won that race. So it's important that the American people become aware of these unassuming races for state's attorney, district attorney, and attorney general, because George Soros is a cancer. And that man is undermining, you know, the rule of law in America, and it goes with what the Marxist movement is, and that is to dismantle our constitutional republic.
Yeah, he exploited a soft underbelly, as our friend says, of a public office that people don't really know or care about, because how many people have interaction with that? But it's even worse. Did you know Antifa, you think of them as being, well, we're the little guy, and we're trying to go against the big guy. Well, there was an Antifa operative, 22. He's the son of a millionaire Maine surgeon. He grew up in a gigantic $2 million Kennebunkport mansion, and he sailed on his parents' yacht. This Frank Carroll is one of the five domestic terrorists arrested at an autonomous zone in Atlanta. This is where they're going to be building an extension of a police department. And this 22-year-old and a lot of these other Antifa guys are the sons and daughters of very rich and successful capitalists who have done well in whatever they've endeavored to do. And they became Marxists. Now, this kid, which is interesting, because people, well, what happened to him? He was born lucky, had everything. So what flipped him? Well, he went fascist. He went Antifa when he was at the University of Maine. They got to him.
Ooh.
According to the article, ooh, and this is through the Daily Mail, which is a respected news source, they said that when he was at college is when he got turned. So the Marxists got him in college.
Well, is it any surprise that colleges and universities are turning out these left-wingers the way they are?
No, I mean, 70, 80, 85% of all the professors are raging liberals. And that's throughout the country. That's fairly consistent, yeah, except for Liberty and a couple other conservative universities.
Well, you know, there's starting to be a pushback, and the University of and Berkeley is one of those where there's now an investigation into the anti-Semitism of that, the School of Law, and it's about time that happens. You know, there's also on Twitter an organization that's on Twitter, Foundation for Freedom Online. And they have been publishing some interesting tweets, including this NTFEC was a sort of a sister organization to a notoriously shady outfit also created at the same time called the Transition Integrity Project. And apparently, according to this organization, they have uncovered some tweets or some mission statements that the left wing, the Democrats, and I believe it was even more encouraged, Jim Baker, that's who it was. Remember Jim Baker, who now is probably going to be the fall guy for the Democrats. But apparently the organization, let me get it again just so everybody can follow it. Transition Integrity Project, TIP, okay, had mobilized radical racial justice activists, which would be Antifa and Black Lives Matters, to be dispatched to go to the streets in the event that candidate Trump won in 2020. So all of this noise about the January 6th and the accusation of insurrection, actually, Jim Baker confirms that the left wing was ready to mobilize and to take to the streets using Antifa and Black Lives Matter to wreak havoc and cause destruction if Donald Trump had won re-election in 2020. That's not making any news. All part of the Democrat Party.
Yeah. Media corruption.
Media corruption. That's right. One other news, I think a newsworthy story is out of Conservative Treehouse again, and this is out of Africa. And this should kind of give you – this should kind of outrage you. But so Biden will pay – the African Union an additional $2.5 billion, okay, to stop Africa from developing domestic farm fertilizer. And you say, what? How could this be? And actually, this is just an outrageous and egregious and an irresponsible act. And the latest news out of Africa, it's quite disturbing, and it's not hyperbole. And the concerns that continue the manufacturing of a crisis under the guise of climate change and to promote a global climate con game, this is truly a scam. And it's being conducted at American taxpayer expense and the EU taxpayer expense. Now, don't forget, this is our money that's being pledged. Another $2.5 billion to stop Africa from developing domestic farm fertilizer. Remember this, because we've already given $11 billion, okay, to the African Union. And now Biden wants to give another $2.5 billion, all under the G7 climate change agenda. And that is to stop Africa from developing nitrogen, okay, for fertilizer in order to farm, in order to feed the African people. And why is Africa doing this? Because of the issues with Ukraine and the fertilizer that Ukraine provides to the world. And we all heard the noise about, oh, this the Putin's war with Ukraine will also interrupt the food chain, and you know, we see and it's Christmas time, so now we're seeing the commercials that are tugging at your heartstrings, and oh, the famine in Africa and the starving children, and you know, the left wing loves to use children as a means of tugging at your heartstrings. And so the African Union is trying to avoid this. Except the European Union and the United States under Biden-Harris regime have requested and mandated that the African Union not develop fertilizer under the climate emergency issue. Really, climate change emergency. The compounding impacts of the global pandemic, the growing pressures of the deepening climate crisis, High energy and fertilizer costs and protracted conflicts, including Russia's war in Ukraine, have pushed weak supply chains to the brink and dramatically increased malnutrition and food insecurity, particularly in African countries. So why would the Biden regime and the European Union demand Africa not manufacture nitrogen to assist the farmers in growing food? So think about that. All in the name of climate change, all in the name of a climate emergency, a climate crisis, you know, all of those cliches the left wing wants to throw at you to make you feel guilty. The Biden administration would rather people starve than be able to feed themselves in order to retain the climate change agenda, which is a scam. This globalism, elitism, in its full glory, Western politicians along with multinational corporations in control of global trade and finance are deciding who lives and who dies according to their climate change ideology. This is how important their Build Back Better scheme is to them. Liberalism or modern totalitarianism, leftism, is on display as the great global cleaving continues. The elites in Western government think they still have the power to control the rest of the world. However, the absence of food changes things and creates a risk to their agenda. Many people are starting to realize through the farming aspect, the Western ideology as manifest in modern globalism is dangerous. The Davos crowd is willing to kill millions if that is what it takes to retain their climate change ideology. How dare the European Union and the left-wing leaders of the United States of America inflict this much pain and damage on the African Union, who is trying to feed their people? And then you watch and you see commercials come on and, oh, the, you know, you please donate to the starving children, the famine in Africa. And it turns out that our government, our left-wing government, the global cabal, okay, of the United Nations, of the World Economic Forum, of the European Union are behind this famine. All in the name of climate scam. Yes, climate scam. This climate change is the biggest ruse to ever impact the United States of America. This radical left-wing anti-American government, this agenda, is literally going to kill people. Do so in the African Union. And right here in the United States of America, as Holger pointed out earlier, people from Philadelphia setting their thermostats at 58 degrees because they can't afford the 300% increase in heating fuel oil, the 400% increase in heating fuel oil, the 270% increase in natural gas prices. Al, this is disgusting. I found this article of the European Union is unbelievable what we're seeing. It's downright, it's disgusting.
Evil. It's evil.
Yes.
It's taking away the ability for any people who are, they don't grow a lot of food in Africa, and to take away their ability to maximize their agricultural yields with fertilizer, to what end? And it's just pure evil. You should be doing everything to help these people grow their own food. And what, their excuse is global warming? Give me a break.
Climate change.
Yeah, whatever. Marxists kill people. And this is a good example.
You know, kudos to Africa, okay, for having the wherewithal to try to create and manufacture their own nitrogen. Seriously, that is admirable. As much negativism that comes out of Africa, you know, the genocide against Christians and all that. But the fact is that the African Union is trying to you know, prohibit and avoid this type of devastation. And then the European Union comes in with their green goal. Biden-Harris regime comes in with their green goal under the climate change ruse. And you're going to prohibit the African Union from developing fertilizer in order to assist their farmers in producing food? I mean, this is unconscionable what we're seeing today.
Where's the NAACP?
It's a great question.
Where are the anti-slavery? Where are they? They're quiet. They're protecting their Marxist white leader. I mean, all this racist talk is all just meant to divide us. They don't mean it. They don't care. It's just more gaslighting and lying to the American people, and they'll divide us to achieve their political goals just like this. And screw these people in Africa that may be dying this next summer because they can't use the fertilizer to increase their yields, all because of America. And then President Biden says, oh, we'll give you some money, which is going to go right into the corrupt hands of the leaders, not to the people who need it most.
Yeah. We only have a $31 trillion debt. We have an interest payment of $602 billion now, thanks to the Federal Reserve, you know, increasing prices, increasing the, interest rates. And now we're going to give another $2.5 billion. We're going to buy African Union to stop developing domestic farm fertilizer, as if China cares about climate change, as if India cares about climate change. It's a ruse. There is no man-made climate change. If you can regulate the sun and stop sunspots and solar flares, you might be able to change or alter the weather by maybe less than 0.1%, 1,000,000%, you know, Celsius. This entire climate change ruse is to extract money from the coffers of taxpayers around the world, and to stop and prevent the African Union from developing fertilizer is pure evil, as you said. And we won't hear much of this. We will not hear much of this. I put the story in the chat room. You can check it out it's out of The Last Refuge. The conservative treehouse had the article.
Yeah. Well, the other big story is Trump criminal indictments make history out of the J6 committee meeting. Congress has never recommended a former president be charged with a crime ever. The January 6th committee referred Trump to the DOJ for 1, conspiracy, 2, false statements providing support to a violent mob, providing aid or incitement of an insurrection, which, by the way, was last prosecuted during the Civil War, and then they threw in a seditious conspiracy in there for fun. And all this is going to hold up as much as, stolen documents out of Mar-a-Lago. What happened with that story? Silence. The Mueller investigation, nothing came of that. That man has been angrily probed by the DOJ and the FBI and the NSA more than any other person in history that I'm aware of, any other politician. And the guy still wants to run again because he believes in America. Why else would he do it?
Exactly. He believes in America because he sees the opportunity that's available, and it's vast. And look, despite the fact that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Party cabal tried every way, shape, or form to derail his presidency, he still was very successful. And successful in independent energy, you know, energy independence in America, rules and regulations that were gone. He made it look easy despite the fact that Pelosi sought to sabotage his presidency. And they used every metaphor they could. You know, the rabid attack dogs were out there like Mad Maxine Waters. You know, you want to talk about inciting insurrection or inciting to violence. You know, Maxine Waters had done that. And so, well, are we surprised at the partisan witch hunt that occurred in with the J6 committee? It's not a bipartisan committee. It was an anti-Trump committee. And it was a one-sided affair through the entire process.
Yeah, look at that guy, Ray Epps, who's all over videos yelling at the top of his lungs to incite people to go into the Capitol. Mm-hmm. That guy, he would never even got called up by the committee.
Never.
Meanwhile, there's other people that have been languishing in jail who never even went in to the Capitol for over 2 years.
Yeah. Their Sixth Amendment rights have been violated. Yeah, their constitutional rights have been violated. And this administration, this regime doesn't care about your and our and mine constitutional rights. And it's absolutely sick.
Right. And there are some people who did go in there and do damage, and mm-hmm. they deserve to get jail time, but they should have gotten charged with trespassing, released, and then had a later court date,
mm-hmm.
and their habeas corpus would have been satisfied. But this is and then they would have made their case and done their time if they were found guilty, but that's not happening. This whole thing stinks.
Not one person has been charged with insurrection, that they've been charged with trespassing. And this whole, it's a fraud.
And it was the worst insurrection in history because nobody had a gun. I was there. I know.
I know. Can you imagine in Venezuela, insurrection? That was no stinking insurrection. We'll show you insurrection.
Those stupid Americans don't even take guns to the insurrection.
I mean, this whole thing orchestrated by Nancy Pelosi and the cabal inside of Washington, D.C., they despise President Trump. And I'll tell you, you got to give President Trump a lot of kudos, man. He wants, you know, he's willing to go back. And if he does get in, he needs to name names and he needs to open up Pandora's box because heads need to roll in government. It's time to get this cancer out of Washington, D.C. This is insane.
Yep, and Holger's right, because the media is blocking everything, keeping this from happening. The corrupt media, Holger nailed it 100%. That Viking is smart.
Well, Wednesday, we've got Hank Jones and Poly Sports, and I see Hank is in the room. Thursday, we've got Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report, the cancer of civilization jihad. Hey, please, you know, this is Christmas time, please keep Andrew Harrod and his family in your thoughts and prayers, especially during this holiday season, and had a death in the family, and so we send out our prayers and wishes to Andrew. Saturday, Mr. Sam and Doc Duck and a beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. Sunday, we've got the Interfaith Dialogue, the Cross and the Crescent, and Al and I will be back next Monday evening. Please keep G-Ski and Dave in your prayers. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and her sidekick, the author Curtis Bennett, will be back after the first of the year. Simone Nicole, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker. If you want a great self-help show, that's a great job, and it's a break from politics and religion and all that stuff, and gosh, what a great job. Andrew Russo, Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays at 8 p.m., go to AudreyRusso.com. Let's see. Did I forget? Oh, want to say we've got a minute left, so I want to thank Boyd the Alaskan for joining us. Bigfoot, our big patriot. www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Check out his blogspot. Great blogspot. Read it every day. Bring it on, Boyd. Nice to see you. Ducky Northwest gets a Mama Mia for being in the chat room the first day, followed by Gulf Dog, HOV Radio. Nice to see you, Ron. Always a pleasure. Hi, Guy. Nice to see you, Guy. And Sue from New Mexico. Good evening, Sue. Nice to see you on the switchboard. We would like to wish everyone a very safe and Merry Christmas. Sunday is Christmas. Saturday is Christmas Eve. There are some traditions, I'm sure, that everyone has. So wishing you all a blessed Merry Christmas, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Al, any party shots?
Be here or be nowhere next Monday, and Merry Christmas to one and all.
Yes. Good to see everybody. Be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. God bless you guys. Merry Christmas. Ciao.
Hours.
Alaska needs notices sent to his email, and I don't know how to do that.
Oh, I'll get it. I'll get the info from him. I'll get his.
Okay.
I'll get it from on Wednesday, maybe. But yeah, I'll get it to him and get it in.
Okay.
I don't know why it's not. He's not getting it. That's interesting. Yeah. But there's just a lot. There's a lot to talk about. We didn't get into Jane Fonda. Did you see this interview by Jane Fonda? I just watched a 30-second clip. But okay, so Jane Fonda says, if there was no racism, there would not be climate change. It would not be a climate crisis. If there was no misogyny, there would be no climate crisis. That's what she said.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure
what's
out
what's wrong with that.
I don't know. What do you mean? Snow wouldn't be white?
Racist?
I guess. I mean, this is absolutely lunacy. Maybe she soaked up too much communist North Vietnamese soup or something. But to say that if there was no racism, there would be no climate crisis. What
man-made climate change crisis? Whatever.
What does that have to do with anything? I mean,
I don't know. Who are the biggest polluters on the planet?
The Chinese.
Right, and the Russians.
And the Russians and the Indians.
And the Indonesians and the Koreans. All these third world shitholes are the biggest polluters on the planet. But she doesn't care about them. It's all about, we're bad, especially as white people. See, it's a whole different agenda. They want to destroy our culture.
Yeah, she made her money, and she's got, you know, I'm sure she made her millions off of her settlement with dumping Ted Turner. But then if there was no misogyny, there would be no climate crisis. Now that's probably one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
She's Hanoi Jane. What do you want? North Koreans while our soldiers were in the Hanoi Hilton getting tortured.
What is it with these left-wing Marxists who seek to undermine, you know, our country, our society? You know, the George Soros undermining the rule of law, you know, Hanoi Jane undermining the Vietnam War and the prosecution of it by aiding and abetting the enemy. I mean, and she's made tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, in acting after that. And she should have been shunned and banished from the United States of America. And then somehow Donald Trump is bad. But Hanoi Jane is allowed to, you know, to opine her radical views.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that deep down, they hate capitalism. Just the word capitalism makes their skin crawl. And the only way to get rid of capitalism is to destroy America and then rebuild back better.
Yeah,
some utopian society that's never going to exist in a million years.
I think Milton Friedman asked the question the best when he was talking with Phil Donahue back in 1976. What would you replace it with, Phil? Well, I mean, communism? What would you replace capitalism with? Communism? Socialism? What else has worked? Nothing else has worked. So you're saying that there's no corruption in socialism. There's no corruption in communism. There's absolute control with communism, and we see that with China, and we see it with Russia. Yeah. Absolute control.
Because they're totalitarian regimes. It's very simple. Is capitalism perfect? No, it's not.
No.
And then you got people like Bill Gates who want to depopulate the society for the good of the country. Yeah, I guess there's people that I guess throughout their lives they become so successful and rich, which is a good thing, but in the process they were able to buy and sell people as commodities. And then I would imagine that if a person makes it to that level where you can buy and sell everybody, everybody's got a price, that eventually you're not going to like the human race that much anymore, and that you get a God complex because you think you're better than everybody else and you got more money. I don't know. Man, I'm just babbling nonsense.
No, but you bring up a good point, Al. Okay, so let's go back to the roots then of Bill Gates, who, much is made of Gates and Jobs, building their business in their garage. Okay, so they started, their technology out of their garage. And you know what? Isn't that innovative? Isn't that what capitalism is about? Free enterprise? And how do you lose that? You go from zero to 58, 180, $90 billion, okay? You amass this wealth as a result of your ingenuity, okay, which is rewarded under capitalism, under the free enterprise system. And the government was staying out of your way during this whole process. And then, of course, you had to adhere to government regulations, but you still attained this – You still attain greatness where you've manipulated the entire world by the fact that you've developed Microsoft. And in developing Microsoft, you inspired other little Microsofts. And how many individuals in one-man operations, two-man, 10-man, 10-employee operations did you end up buying, okay, as a result of that ingenuity that you couldn't come up with because the creativity that was spawned by Microsoft is you can't question it. You can't. And then to sit there and to have this exclusiveness to your wealth, that you're now the richest man in the world and you want to limit the population and you're looking for ways to stem, farming and to control farming and to control the output of food. It's pretty sick that you can get to that level after you were afforded the opportunity to be great. Mm-hmm. And everybody should have that. Everybody has that same opportunity, but you don't want anybody else to have that opportunity.
It's a weird psychological thing that I just don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either, man. I tell you, it's been... It's really odd that a person like Bill Gates and Bezos and even Warren Buffett, who can attain that much wealth and take advantage of the very system that they're slamming, that they are berating, and they don't want other people to be afforded that opportunity to perhaps be great.
Yeah.
And develop into Microsoft or Apple.
Yeah, and then you got people like President Trump with the story with the U.S. Embassy going to Jerusalem, where he was given a check by Congress for $2 billion to build it, but he got it done for $500,000.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like any person would say, oh, geez, $2 billion, I can get a lot of kickback from this one way or another. My payday just came in. He says, it's too much money. And he did it for a fraction. And it never made the news.
You see, isn't that the problem with Donald Trump? Is that's what what I was trying to articulate earlier, okay, about Trump making it look too easy, you know, and that's a great example, and that's really simple, okay? So the government wants to spend, what was it, $2 million or $2 billion? Is it $2 million?
$2 billion. They were going to give $2 billion. With a, to build the embassy.
Yeah, to go from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So first of all, he's the only president that's recognized Jerusalem as the capital, which it's been the capital of Israel. And he backs it up by moving the embassy from U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv, the only embassy that was not in a capital, okay, moves it to Jerusalem. And then he does the move for a fraction of the cost, saving the American taxpayer at over $1.5 billion. And what is it? What was it? What was wrong with, Is it an amazing?
Yeah. It's insane. And why would he even want to do it? I mean, he takes a pay cut because he literally has to walk away from his business and leave it to his kids, which is fine. He's good with that. But there's so many business opportunities as president that he couldn't, or his kids could not get into because of conflict of interest, which is no concern of the Bidens because they're using their influence to make money with Hunter Biden, and the media is protecting it. Social media was protecting it for 2 years, and now it came out that the laptop is real and authentic. And they're still covering it up, and nobody has released the whole thing in full, like the Twitter leaks.
Yeah,
that's such a double standard.
2023 is going to be an interesting year, and who will break first? Will there be any media outlets that break first, or will the Biden regime break everyone else? I mean, because Joe Biden's not smart enough to do this on his own. There's just no way, shape, or form. And that's what I am thoroughly convinced that that Obama is behind all this, especially when you take a look at the actors inside of the Biden White House. I mean, they're all Obama holdouts, man.
And they're good at playing the political game. And I think it's going to come down to DeSantis knowing that he's being used by the people that hate him to get at Trump, and that once Trump's out of the picture, they're going to pile up on him and destroy him as fast as they can. And I hope he's smart enough to realize it, but he might be blinded by ambition at this point. I have no idea.
Well, I agree with you on that. I mean, I think we've talked about this. As soon as the primary's over, and if DeSantis, tops Trump, the only thing that could save DeSantis at that point is the media's obsession with making sure that Trump goes away. And if they do destroy DeSantis that first go around, then Trump is still there in the wings. So will they do like they did with Charlie Crist and make him the sacrificial lamb in order to get at Trump? That certainly will happen, I think, and I hope this, like you said, I hope DeSantis is not too naive to think that the left wing media is not going to destroy him or find ways to destroy him, because I don't know anybody that's got the backbone or the skin that Trump has. Holy cow!
I can see McCarthy and Rhoda McDaniel playing that game with DeSantis.
Yeah.
Because McCarthy's probably going, hey, I pulled the wool over Trump's eyes again. So these people are easy to manipulate.
And that's going to be the big thing. There's nobody to turn to. There really isn't. I mean, they're all part of the same system. And as long as you hate Trump, that's the idea. And maybe that's what Trump wants. You know, maybe Trump wants to keep things in the forefront because it's exposing more and more of the hypocrites in government. But I find it truly fascinating to see all the revelations that are coming out, what's come out in Twitter, what's come out about Twitter, what's it come out about the media, the FBI. I mean, Newsmax, Here, the Federal Bureau of Interference. That's what they call them. That was really good. I think that's good. And to see what's come out with regards to the FBI and the CIA and the government operatives using taxpayer money to
We've been saying that for years.
Yeah, for censorship.
All the anti-Twitter, anti-Facebook people, that's what we've been saying. Shadow banning, cancellations.
And it turns out he's right. Everything was correct. Yeah. You know, Sue lost, like, I think she lost like 3,000 to 5,000 followers a couple of years ago, and who was constantly getting shadow banned. And, you know, she was trying to work, you know, hard to build that following, and she did. And then Twitter knocked her knees out. And it's like they put the legs right out from underneath her. And it's like, any conservatives.
One story we didn't talk about. Did you know that Biden reinstated the security clearance for physicist Oppenheimer, who passed nuke secrets to the USSR?
Now,
Oppenheimer's long dead, of course. He was part of the Manhattan Project.
Oh.
But as I was looking through Twitter, stumbled on that they're making a movie about Oppenheimer, and they're putting him into the father of the atomic bomb. And they're putting him in a good light, but really the guy was a operative for the Russians, selling state secrets. And that's confirmed, but now they're trying to rewrite history, and your friend Daniel Greenfield wrote this article.
Ooh, I got to read
it.
No, I will read it.
You're all twatted up right now.
All right. And Sue's in the house. I got our mic hot. Hi, Sue.
Oh,
Merry Christmas,
Sue. It's been tweeted.
Okay.
On the GPR. Go ahead. Hey, Sue. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Hi. Oh, Merry Christmas too. No, I was going to tell you I lost over 20,000 followers and two Twitter accounts since I first got on Twitter due to being censored and being a conservative.
You're a troublemaker.
I forgot about the two Twitter accounts. That's right. It was, so the number's 20,000. Holy crap.
Well,
did you get them back yet?
Those two accounts, and then on the current account I have, I'm still, I don't know, probably at least 6,000 down in followers than what I was after what they did to me. Yeah, because they took my account, you know, they kept taking me down. That's what one thing that they were doing. And they'd put you in jail, or, you know, you'd have to agree to what they wanted or take things down in order to get back up. But when you get back up, all of a sudden a whole bunch of your followers would be gone. And so that's what they did. So, yeah, probably all total, it was closer to 30,000. How do you like that one?
Whoa.
Yeah,
I did not realize. Holy crap. 30,000.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did you get the accounts back? Did they turn them back on?
The other two accounts? No. It's still real complicated, and I just want to work on the one. You know, I just, if I go down again or something happens, you know, I'm done with Twitter. You know, it's just, I did have, you know, like two, I always ran two accounts in case I went down on one account. And then, you know, they just totally suspended me on them. And I opened another and they suspended me. You know, it was just, I just got tired of it, and I'm pretty tired of Twitter right now anyway. And I was just going to let you know, too, that I'm probably, you know, up into January, not going to be much on Twitter or anything. The move is not going good. Having a lot of problems with the management and everything here. I'm in between two apartments right now. I had to call 911 the other night because my oxygen regulator broke and I was in the new apartment. and I couldn't get two floors up without supplemental oxygen. And so I didn't know what to do. I dialed 911, but the ambulance driver actually went up to the old apartment and brought my oxygen concentrator down to me. I couldn't even get the building to help me with that. And I'm going to have to hire movers to finish the move. I can't afford them until January, I hope to. And
but
at least I'm out of that mold apartment, you know, where the black mold is. And I'm starting to breathe a little bit easier, too. I'm able to stay in this one apartment. But, yeah, it's not going good. I'll get there. I'll get there, you know, gradually. It's just really horrible. And it's happening to a lot of senior citizens. I'm hearing from a lot of people in the, you know, I'm in an independent senior citizen facility. And because of what Biden's done and, you know, the cost of, well, everything from electricity to, you know, gas for heating and everything, well, they've raised their rates, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's getting really rough, and they've cut out our breakfast meal, and, you know, that's supposed to come with what I pay rent, but they just cut that out on us, and the food, it's incredible. You get a fourth of a cup of vegetables a meal.
Oh, my God.
They've cut it down. Yeah, they've cut it down that much. It's just, it blows you away. But this is happening to senior citizens all over everywhere. And we just got a notice saying that our rent was going up 8.7%. But don't worry about that, because they're increasing Social Security by 8.7%. So we won't notice it. Good logic, huh?
Uh-huh.
I must think, because the senior citizens, like, our brains aren't there anymore, you know, but don't worry about it, because you're getting that increase in Social Security. So we'll just take it away from you and give you less services and stuff. It's just, and they fired or, you know, let go all of their, there's a period of time here we don't even have security. You know, they close the desk early and security doesn't come on. They got rid of all their security people. They've gotten rid of all of their housekeepers. I mean, it's incredible what is actually happening to people. I can't imagine people who aren't, you know, in a place like I am, you know, like in their own house or something like that, and being a senior citizen, you know, just like Holger was talking, I just can't imagine what it's going to be like for them. You know, it's just, and I can't right now even afford to go get food. And, you know, because I try to cook for myself because the food is so bad and I'm diabetic. But anyway, the shelves here in Colorado are empty. You can't get half of what you want to get. Oh, yeah. And get this, $6 for a dozen of Lucerne eggs, the store brand eggs. $6.
Oh.
I don't know what it's like where you guys live, but, you know, in certain areas, and of course, Colorado is a blue state. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But, yeah, it's incredible. You can't even get distilled water for my CPAP machine. Half the time they're empty of that. And I used to pay 59 cents to 79 cents per gallon of distilled water. I mean, you can get it. Now, the last time it was $1.89 a gallon.
That's the same problem here. Same problem here with distilled water.
Oh.
Yeah. Suddenly, the grocery stores are out of it. Yeah.
Hmm. Why? Do you know why? I can't seem to get an answer for that. It's distilled water. Well, you used to get distilled water from electric plants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that was a byproduct of producing the electricity was distilled water. And I don't understand why there's this big shortage of distilled water.
That's a great question.
It, you know, it's, I mean, it's just something that's really weird. It's, you know, like why? And people need it for their oxygen machines and everything. I need it for my CPAP, you know, and you can't get it. So it's tearing up your equipment. It's just absolutely insane. And, you know, I love when you were talking about, you know, Biden and the gas coming down and all this stuff and everything. He's depleted our reserves. So any type of a crisis or anything hits here, any type of war, you know, anything, we have no reserves. And the chances of getting those reserves filled again are, I don't see them as very good. Do you?
Well, apparently they just did the first buy that's going to supposedly be delivered in February of 2023. So we're already down to 360 million barrels of oil as a result of artificially lowering gas prices. And when he starts replenishing it, we've already seen a spike in oil prices. The barrel of oil now has increased to $73-74 a barrel. So yeah, I'd be very, very suspect because of what he's intentionally done. And that's really, no one's talking about that. And of course the media is giving him a pass on everything he's doing. And we, you know, it's very important what's happening. He's pounding his chest right now on Twitter, all over Twitter. His handlers are putting out the tweets about gas prices being lower, and Carl Cantania of CNBC said the same thing. It's like, dude, the gas price is still 70% higher, and you've used the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to artificially reduce gas prices, and now you have to replenish that.
Where did he get – did he buy from Saudi Arabia? I don't have television right now, so I'm really behind on stuff.
Hey, Sue, have you contacted the Colorado State Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program?
It's a Democrat-run program, and they are absolutely no help whatsoever. I've contacted... You know, we're even looking in January. My cousin's in Oklahoma, but I may have to contact a lawyer. But again, you've got to get the money, you know, to get a lawyer or something. Oh, yeah, they're a joke. They're a big joke.
Ugh.
It's what they are. And everybody greases everybody else's hands.
That's too bad because my father-in-law, at least here, where we're at, they're not that way.
We're in Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Colorado, and especially I live in Pueblo County, very heavily Democrat run. And, I contacted them way in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to get help for a while, and it's no use.
Yeah. And, you know, does Vito have your email address by chance?
My email doesn't work on my phone.
Oh, or phone.
I've got a really old Android phone, and the email, I don't know, it doesn't really work.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, I'm like doing okay, but it's too bad what is happening. And I mean, at least I've got a building, you know, someplace, you know, safe that I can be. But there are people out there that it's getting really scary. And there's a lot of people out on the streets and stuff. And, the other day I got taken to the doctors. They're supposed to give us a ride to the doctors. Well, their van's not working. The catalytic converter got stolen, of course, because they don't have security here. And I was taken across town and it was single digit temperature with the heater not working in the van. It was a 20-minute ride in that van to the doctor. Yeah. So those are the conditions. And, you know, if it's happening to me, it's happening to others. And when I actually threatened with the lawyer and I was told, if you don't like it here, tell your cousin to come load you up in the car and get the hell out.
Nice.
And my cousin is in almost worse shape than I am, you know, and she's just had some surgeries and stuff, and she's my age, and yeah, I'm sure she can get in her car and just come get me, you know, because, I mean, that's the whole attitude. And I think it's happening to a lot of people and a lot of senior citizens and stuff. And I just wonder, you know, how much it's, you know, I'm in a very blue, you know, Democrat county. And, you know, you wouldn't dare put a Trump hat on here. Even in the building, you would get mugged, you know. You just definitely do not do anything like that. And, yeah, so it's pretty sad. Oh, and, you know, one other thing. I've pretty much given up on Sky News Australia. I go on YouTube and look at them. They are so anti-Trump. It is pathetic. And yesterday they put out a thing about a CNN poll, you know, that they had, and how nobody here likes Trump and how horrible he is. And they've been pounding on Trump for a good 2 months, probably.
Wow. I did not realize that. I'm going to have to check out some of their news. Holy cow.
I'll send you a couple. I'll send you a couple of them. I get into it pretty big time in the comment section. And, you know, their comment section is almost all supportive of Trump, but they keep doing it. But I'll find some tonight, and I'll send you one or two of them so you can get an idea of what Sky News Australia is doing. And,
all right, great.
You know, people are like, are you kidding me? A CNN poll? You know, and so isn't that sad? Isn't that sad?
Yes, it is.
Oh my God. And Meghan Markle is going to be entering politics. God help us.
Well, God help us is right. Oh, my God. What a waste of a human being.
It just blows my mind. And some of these Democrats are now floating around her. You know, she got that RFK Ripple of Hope Award, you know, and they're really at odds with Carolyn Kennedy and the JFK. I guess the families are fighting really big time. But they got that, yeah, and there was your usual suspect of the Democratic Party there, and she's cozying up to him and everything. But that's her main ambition right now, is to get into politics, and they just might put her in.
Yeah.
And she's out in California, you know. So you think AOC is bad? Oh, yeah. My lordy. I'll let you go. I've been following more of them, you know, and their shenanigans than I have anything else. Because, well, right now I haven't had, you know, the television is up in that other apartment. So, and I don't want to go in there with that black mold. I'm trying to stay out. So anyway, I'm sorry I talk so much. I just wanted to give you an update and let you know why I'm really not on Twitter much or anything. I'm just trying to survive a little bit here.
Well, at least you're out of the old apartment, and that's good news.
Yeah, there's good news, and thank goodness that the ambulance driver, when he came and he was looking around at stuff, and I explained to him, I said, well, I didn't know what to do because I couldn't get to the other apartment. I was having to go up there to sleep with my oxygen concentrator because it's kind of big, you know. And he He looked and he said, why don't you have it here? I said, because no one will help me get it down here. And he just rolled his eyes and he walked out. He went up to 603 and he brought it down to me.
Oh, ambulance, that was beautiful. Oh.
Wasn't that nice? An ambulance driver did that and he set it up for me and everything. And so I've been able to sleep, you know, away from the mold for, well, that was Friday night. Yeah. So I, you know, I haven't gone back up there. So anyway, but I'm doing good and Merry Christmas. Sorry I kept you guys so long.
I enjoy our conversation.
Yeah, I'll send you the little Sky News Australia. I just can't figure them out why they went so. I mean, they're as bad as CNN, anti-Trump. They really are. And they pretty much every day. So I pretty much quit tweeting much out about, you know, from Sky News Australia because of what they're doing. And they used to be pretty good.
They were. They were great. I mean, it really worked. Oh, my
well,
God.
Well, you know, they with the Meghan Markle and that, they still, you know, they're pretty anti-her, and so I get tickled at that. And sometimes, you know, they're still putting out the Biden stuff, you know, not so. But if you notice lately, they're not putting out that much like they used to about Biden either. I don't know where the shift is coming or why, but anyway. I'll let you guys go. I enjoyed
all right,
the show
Sue.
A lot tonight.
All right, you have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Okay.
Merry Christmas to
Merry
you. And, yeah.
Christmas and
Happy Hanukkah,
Happy
Al.
Hanukkah.
Yes. You too. Merry Christmas. And I guess we'll talk again next Monday.
All right.
Okay.
You take care of yourself.
All right.
Bye,
bye,
Sue. You stay well, okay?
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.